Good evening. It's great to be back here with you tonight. Tonight we're going to wrap up our reports from our recent mission trip to Haiti that we were able to take a few weeks ago. Appreciate so much Tony, one of our elders here, giving his perspective of our trip last week. It was great to have one of our leaders on the trip, and I know it was a good experience for him and also for those he was able to help and encourage as well. What I want to do tonight in the time that I have before I turn it over to Brett for the second part of this is try to give an overview of the mission work that we are involved with. There are many mission points that we help support, and I want to just update us on what we're trying to do. It's one of the goals that we have, to keep the congregation updated on where we're supporting missionaries so that we can be mindful of them, praying for them, writing letters to them to encourage them in their work. And then I will also just highlight some of the things that we were able to do on our Haiti trip. One of our new mission efforts is focused in New Zealand. And one of the things I mentioned several weeks ago was that for our new budget, the two areas that were increased were evangelism and mission work. And that's significant. When you look at the increases in our work here at Westside, we're trying to do more to take the gospel to those who need to hear it. In Matthew chapter 28, the last words that Jesus shared with his apostles before he ascended back to heaven, they focused on this mission, to go throughout the world to tell people about Jesus, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection, and what's possible through that. That through obeying that message, we can have our sins forgiven, we can be added to the kingdom, we can be clothed with Christ. All of these things that we experienced when we were baptized into Christ. And it's our mission to take that message, to take that good news everywhere. And the mission points that I'm going to mention are focused overseas. We also have mission works right here domestically, here in Norman and Philadelphia, also with some smaller churches here in Oklahoma and Texas. But for the presentation tonight, we'll focus on some of our overseas mission efforts. We support Chris Miller here in New Zealand. Again, it's a new work that we started this year. We're looking forward to seeing the results from this. It's an opportunity to take the gospel, at least for us, to a new place that we have not been involved with. And that's something our elders are always looking towards, new places where we can take the gospel. We also recently have started supporting a missionary in India, Ricky Goodham. And if you've ever had the opportunity to meet Ricky, Ricky is centered primarily out of Stillwater. Stillwater sponsors his work, but he has many other churches that help support the ongoing efforts in India. India is booming with people. And when you listen to Ricky, the energy that he has, the preaching that he does, he is sharing God's word continually on a day-by-day basis, whether it's through the radio, through television opportunities, person to person, house to house. This guy is busy sharing the gospel. When we look at the book of Acts and we see the apostles taking the gospel to people day by day, that's what I think of when I think of Ricky's work. And we are trying to get him lined up to actually speak to us later this year so that he can give us some firsthand information about the work in India. It's very impressive work, many baptisms through his effort. One of our ongoing efforts is centered in Nigeria. Our World Bible School opportunities are focused primarily here in this African country. And through the work of Doug, we certainly are familiar with this map, with the work that's ongoing in Nigeria. We know that Doug retired at the end of 2018, but our work in Nigeria, it continues, not only through World Bible School, but also through the support of two other preachers. Sylvester Amogo has been here with us on two different occasions. It's a name that is familiar to us. We continue to support the work in Nigeria through him and also through another preacher in Nigeria, Mike Udom. These were recommendations from Doug based on his experience there in Nigeria, and it was our goal to continue to have involvement in the work there in this country. It's been so fruitful, so productive, people there responding to the message of the gospel. And we also support Alan and Robin Dutton down in Brazil. When you look at the work that Alan does, and we try to keep the congregation updated through some of his letters that we put in the bulletin, a couple of weeks ago we had an update from the work in Brazil. And one of the things that they were looking to do was start a new congregation. And just this past week, they decided on the location for the new church. And I believe they began meeting there this week, here today on Sunday. One of the things that we've seen with Alan through the years is how the church continues to spread. Here in Sao Paulo, you can see it on the map down south of Rio de Janeiro. This area right here has millions and millions of people living in it. The city of Campinas has millions of people. And Alan is always looking for new opportunities to start a new church. And through the years that we've supported him, there have been several churches that have been planted. And the congregation that he and Robin are at now is up over 250, and they were looking to start a new work. And that work began just here recently. And we look forward to continue to work with Alan and Robin. And then, of course, Haiti. Haiti has been in the news here recently for not the best of reasons. There's a lot of unrest in Haiti, and it probably centers on this. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. If you consider all of the countries that make up the Western Hemisphere, Haiti is the poorest. And when you go to Haiti, that's on display. The unemployment rate is around 80%, probably higher than 80%. So you can imagine what the country is like day to day with over 80% of the people not working. And it's not that they don't want to work. It's not that they're lazy. There's no infrastructure. There's no government support. And you have people that are desperate for work, desperate to provide for their families. And it's a shock to the system for Americans, for the quality of life that we have here and the things that we take for granted to be thrown into the middle of this country. It's shocking. And you're surrounded by people who know there has to be something better. And that's one of the reasons the gospel is very successful there. It's comparable to Nigeria in a lot of ways. But believe it or not, Nigeria, in spite of its corruption, has more infrastructure probably than even Haiti does. And there's a lot of unrest now in this country because of some corruption, some things that are happening, inflation. One of the things that I initially thought when I went to Haiti, I've been there 3 times now, and when I went to Haiti, I expected everything to be cheap. You get to Haiti, we're in a third world country, I thought everything would be cheaper than it is here in America. It's not. In fact, it's the opposite. Gas is more expensive. Groceries are more expensive. Just the day-to-day necessities of life, the things that we go to Walmart and buy, all of those things are more expensive. So you have people living in this society where things are more expensive than they even are for us here in America. The majority of them don't have jobs. They don't have a way to be able to buy these supplies, food, different things for hygiene. You can imagine the desperation of the people in this country. And that's why you're seeing some of the things that are on the news here recently. Here in Haiti, our work centers in the north. Cap Haitien, you can see on this map, it's the very top part of Haiti. Much of the unrest, at least the primary focus of it, has been down in Port-au-Prince, the capital. But the demonstrations have really spread across the entire nation. We support several different efforts here in Haiti. We help support a widow's home. We also help support the Center for Biblical Training, where young men are trained to preach. 12 men are selected. They go through a 3-year process where they're taught the Bible more in depth. They're taught how to study the Bible with people. And it follows the ministry plan of Jesus, how he took 12 men, devoted 3 years of his life to them, and then set them loose to go and share the gospel. That's the goal for the Center for Biblical Training. And we help support that work $1,000 a month. There at the Center for Biblical Training, there are 3 Haitian directors, Fonros, Bello, and Richard. Fonros has been here. He had to come to America for some eye surgeries about 1 year, 2 years ago. And we hope to have Richard here. Richard is very impressive as far as the overall work in the northern part of Haiti. And we support each of these men on a monthly basis there to continue the work. If you just look at this world map, you can kind of see where our efforts are focused. We have a missionary down in Brazil in South America. We have a missionary, two missionaries actually in Nigeria over in Africa. We have missionaries who are working in Haiti, missionaries way over here to the right in New Zealand. We're trying to spread the gospel as best we can from right here in Norman, Oklahoma. Now, I just want to share a few things about our trip to Haiti. We flew out on Friday, February 1st. And we arrived around 12:30 local time there in Cap Haitien. And once we made it to the Center for Biblical Training, we're inside a compound. It's an area that's very safe as far as how you feel in Haiti. And when we got there, we began immediately working on our projects. The two big projects that we undertook were to build 30 pews for the church in Pelton and to also complete a roof project about 2 hours south of Cap Haitien. And so on Friday, when we arrived, we immediately started cutting lumber. I'm not a woodworking guy. In fact, I'm not very hands-on with much of anything. I was amazed at how much wood it takes to build 30 pews, how much lumber is required to construct a roof. We did a lot of cutting. We had so many people working with saws. My one fear was somebody cutting their finger because I did not want to go to the hospital in Haiti. And so I made sure I stayed away from the saw. Even if somebody else cut their finger, I wanted to make sure it wasn't mine. But we did a lot of cutting that first day, getting all of the boards cut for the roof project and also for our pews. On Saturday, we focused on the roof. We traveled about 2.5 hours south to an area called St. Raphael to begin work on the roof. Now, 2.5 hours for us, you could drive here, probably make it close to Wichita, Kansas in 2.5 hours. We went about 22 miles in 2.5 hours. That's how bad the roads are. The roads are horrible. And a lot of our group was riding in this huge truck, and it was even worse in that truck than it was in some of the other vehicles. But from our compound, just south of Cap Haitien, to the place where we were constructing the roof, about 22 miles, 2.5 hours to get there. By the time you get there, at least for me, I'm already worn out. I'm like, all right, where's my cot? So I'm taking a nap. But we got there and we immediately went to work. The land for this building was actually purchased by Westside. And the money for the building was also purchased by Westside. So our congregation has a very close involvement with this particular work. And we worked on that roof on Saturday. We got as much done as we could. On Sunday, I went with Tony to Pelton, traveled with Richard, a similar trip to St. Raphael. Pelton's about 2 hours away. For us in America, it'd be about 20 minutes. But because of the roads, it took us 2 hours to get there, and it was an exciting day. We had the opportunity to baptize one of the Haitians there in the river on Sunday. Brett went with the rest of the group to Lamalay, where Fonrose preaches, and they had a great worship as well. That afternoon, we were able to host a WEI reception. There are a lot of students in Haiti who are studying the Bible through WEI, hoping to learn English. We had about 50 in attendance. Some were in the process of going through this program, and some were actually through with it. We were able to meet with them and actually meet two of the students who are studying with our members right here at Westside. On Monday, we finished the roof project, and we continued to work on pews. The pews consisted of a lot of different things: cutting the wood, routing the wood, sanding the wood, staining the wood. All of that was ongoing as we were there at the CBT. On Tuesday, we finished the staining of all of the wood for the pews. We built a screen door. I say we. It wasn't me. When I say we, that means Greg Jensen and Scott Fuchsa and a few of the other guys. But we built a screen door for the dorms, reinforced some of the bunk beds we had built our last trip. Then we had some time that afternoon to try to travel to the Citadel. It's an area there in Capation, just south of Capation, up on the top of a mountain, a historical place, but we weren't able to make it. The demonstrations in some ways had already started at that point. There were some people blocking the road because they wanted more of the money that was being paid by tourists to go and see it. We only made it as far as the palace, and Tony may have showed some pictures from that last week. On Wednesday, we traveled to Pelton. This is where Richard preaches. Each time that I've been to Haiti, I've been there three times, as I mentioned. The times that I've been there, I've always gone to Pelton for worship. I've always had the opportunity to preach there. And it's very neat to see how a congregation grows over about a six-year period. You see growth. You can measure the growth there at Pelton. Since we were there 2.5 years ago, they've added a balcony. The balcony seats over 100 people. And on that Sunday that I was there with Tony, there were around 230 people there worshiping God. And you see the growth, and it's exciting, it's contagious. And these pews that we built, they had the balcony completed, but only a couple of pews up there, so we were able to fill in that entire balcony with the pews that we were able to build. On Thursday, we were shut in our compound. If you followed any of the recent news from Haiti in the last 2 weeks since we've been back, you see the demonstrations continuing to escalate. Some groups are locked into their compound. That was us on Thursday. And for us in America, even for me, it's a strange feeling to be locked in somewhere. Even though we were safe, even though we were comfortable, to just know that we can't leave, it's a strange feeling. In fact, I was talking to Richard. We had plans to go into Capation, see the city a little bit, eat at one of the restaurants that served American food, and we were going to do that. We were shut in that morning, and Richard gets there, and I'm like, all right, Richard, can we go now? He's kind of laughed. He's like, no, you can't go anywhere. And for us as Americans, we don't like that. And I'm just thinking, I want to go somewhere. I don't want to be stuck here. And I think about the people that are living in that situation day in and day out. So many people just staying inside because they don't know how bad the demonstrations are going to be. They don't know if they're going to be violent. They don't know if they're going to be peaceful. But that day, it was an important day for us. It gave us the time to rest and reflect on our trip. And then on Friday, we flew out. Back to America. We flew out at 1:30 local time and arrived back here in Norman around 11:30. It's our hope to be able to continue to go to Haiti. Of course, we're going to monitor the situation there. We never want to put any of our members at risk, but anytime you go to a foreign mission field, there is a little bit of risk. We hope to be able to go back in a couple of years. As Patrick mentioned this morning, Haiti needs your prayers. Haiti as a country, the Christians there in Haiti, they need your prayers. This time I'm going to turn it over to Brett. Brett has a lot of pictures and some of his stories that he wants to share about our trip, and then he'll also offer the invitation at the conclusion of his part.
Thank you, Philip. I know why he wants to keep his fingers is so he can make those points from the pulpit. 1, 2, 3, okay. This is the palace that he was talking about. It's a very beautiful. It's the ruins of Palace King Henri Christophe. It was built in 1810, finished in 1813, I believe. And earthquake 1842 basically destroyed it. Anyway, it's a very beautiful place. And just a few kilometers away was a citadel, which I wish we would have been able to go to. I wanted to show you some people. This is Job. Job is 38 years old. He is married, his wife is a nurse. He has two children. One is 3 years of age and the youngest is 3 months. Job, his name fits him. He's a very patient man. He would answer our questions. He was able to decipher some of Melissa's French. And so he was a very patient man and a very aggressive driver too. Boy, I tell you, he could get you there and really appreciate him. This next man is Toto. Toto is 35 years old. He is married. His wife lives in Florida and Palm Beach. She lives in Palm Beach. He has a 5-year-old son. And I think she is American. Her citizenship is American, and so I think that's part of the reason that she is there. But this man has always got a smile on his face. I would go anywhere in a dark alley with Toto. Tell you, he is a sawed-off stump, and he can protect you with a smile on his face the whole time. He can run somebody off the road and smile and wave at him, you know. That's the type of guy that he was, and very pleasant. Does not speak very good English, but the smile says it all. You can communicate so many things with a smile. This is the preacher at the church where we went and put the roof on. He is, I don't remember his name. Do you remember his name? A very nice man, and he would jump in there and work, and so very grateful to meet him and have a picture of him and the work there. That is a nice lot of land that Westside did help purchase for this congregation that is growing. It's an interesting story about this congregation, how they came about. Just some basically this man asking Richard some questions, and his questions led to baptism and him spreading the gospel to the people in his area in the mountains. So another one. This is a picture of Tony trying to take out a youth minister. I thought I would share that with you. You be careful of those elders sometimes. Sometimes they try to bump you off, get rid of you. This is some of the children that were up in that congregation that we went to in the mountains, the first place we went where we put on the roof. And it was very interesting to see about children. That's one of the things, one of my observations as a first-timer in Haiti, is how children are just, they're just inquisitive. They wonder what's going on. And it's not really that different than children here, in a sense. These children have a love and a desire just to be around you, to help, to serve. And they usually always have a smile on their face. And that's what's so amazing about these children. And I'm showing them how to take a picture there. This is my Haitian youth group, my new Haitian youth group, okay? This was the congregation in Lamalay where I was able to preach, and I'm showing these children. This is how you take a picture in America. You just throw it all out there, okay? And this is Rick Sadowski showing them how to do a grizzly bear. This is how you do a grizzly bear in the United States. You just throw it out there, and they'll do it. You know, they just want to enjoy life, too, and want to have fun as well. And this is some pictures of those children up in north where we put on the roof. I'll tell you what, I just kind of got out of the way of these kids because they were just getting after it, and you could see the smiles on their faces unloading this lumber, and they were going to take it across the fence. I've got some more pictures. They were unloading it from the truck, and they were taken across into the shed so that when we left and our men that came back to put on the metal for the roof, so the wood wouldn't be gone, because thievery is a big thing there in Haiti, and if you leave that anything like that out, it's going to be gone. So they helped us with that. Here's another picture of them just passing those boards and having a great time. They're just curious, wanted to know what we were doing and the things that were going on. You know, it reminded me a lot of some passages of Scripture in the New Testament that talked a lot about children. I think so much these passages of Scripture apply to the Haitian children. Matthew 18, 1 through 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." What about this passage of Scripture in Mark? "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." How about one more? Luke 9, 46 through 48. "An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, 'Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great. These passages of Scripture just remind me so much of those children and also really our children here. And some things that really came to my mind is that children are so amazing and they teach so many things. They teach things like trust and faith and joy and involvement, obedience, giving, forgiveness, sincerity, and having the heart of a servant. These kids want to help. They want to do anything that they can. And to squash that spirit would be tragedy to do something of that nature. The children in Haiti seem unhindered. I didn't mean to leave a gap there on unhindered, but I accidentally did. They smile and they laugh often, and they do it all without cell phones and televisions and videos and game systems and all of these things. I saw kids having the best time with just the rim of a bicycle that had the spokes taken out of it and a stick just rolling the thing around. And they were having the best time with that. And It's really an amazing thing to see these things and to learn great things from children. You know, perhaps there's something to be said about the simple way of life, because the simple way of life can offer less distractions and more opportunities in your relationship with God. Less stress can provide greater opportunity to reflect on God's Word and the study of the Scriptures. A simple way of life can help us focus on what is important, the priorities of life, and most certainly, Judgment Day. Because that has to be a priority in the life of a Christian. How about some other pictures? This is a congregation at La Mallee. You can see the pews there. The pews that we built weren't like this. These are two-by-fours, basically. And they will sit on these two-by-fours for hours. It doesn't matter how long. And they are ready to get after it and to sing. And they have beautiful singing. They really sing. Some of the songs that you can recognize, one of the songs I recognized was Jesus is All the World to Me. They would sing lots of songs, and some of those you would recognize. Here's some of the people here at La Mallee. And actually, La Mallee, where they worship, is also a school. Fawn Rose told me they feed 225 students a day at this school. And they don't have running water. This is the well here. And people will come to this water source. They don't really have running water. We were very fortunate in our compound to have running water. They don't have running water really anywhere in Haiti, just a few places that do. So if they want to get water, they bring their jugs here, they fill them up, and take them back. They'll feed these students all without a stove. They don't have an oven, they don't have a stove. I don't know how they cooked. They would cook for us, and we went into the kitchen. They didn't even have an oven or a stove. I can't figure out how they do it. They must do it like they do at Silver Dollar City, have a giant skillet, and they get it under a fire, and they cook all this kind of stuff and scoot it around and things like that. I don't know. But it's absolutely amazing what they will do. This is the graduates of the Center for Biblical Training. They go through a three-year program. It's very intense, Bible study. And one of the requirements that they do is singing. And I've got a video clip. If my man back there, Ryan, can go ahead and play that. Things that we were able to do in Haiti with these guys was to sing songs. We would sing songs that they would recognize, and they would sing in French Creole, and then we would recognize what they were singing, and we would sing in English. And that was so neat to be able to do that. But I wanted you to see some things about singing. I think we're trying to get me back over to the other PowerPoints. There it is. Here's some observations about their singing. It's a great experience to listen and sing with the Haitian Christians. They have just a way of singing from the heart as they lift up their soul in praise to God. I'm telling you what, when you hear them sing, it's just like their very soul is being lifted to God. It's an amazing thing, and it inspires me to sing from the heart. You know, too many times we're worried about what songs we sing, whether we're singing youth songs or classic worship traditional songs. What really God desires so much is that we sing from the heart. And it's helpful to see this example and keep this in mind as God does desire our heart as we offer praise to Him. I'm reminded of Ephesians 5 and 19, joining with one another in holy songs of praise and of the Spirit, using your voice in songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Haitians got great balance. You can see in these pictures that you will see this all over Haiti, that ladies will carry their laundry in huge containers, buckets, you know, whatever they have. They don't even have to hold on to them. The picture on the left is the lady who is, she's not even holding on to it. She's just walking like normal. And you can see how rough the roads are. We've talked about that a little bit. That's a little bit of a picture of roads. And they'll just drive anywhere, wherever the smoothest part is. You know, there's not really any law. They just, you know, snake it around wherever it's smooth. And it's not smooth anywhere. I've discovered that. So you might as well just, you know, beeline it. But that's not what they do. Okay? Here's another picture of balance. You'll see this a lot. I think some of our group have seen as many as 6 people on a motorcycle. I mean, you look at this guy with the backpack on the back. He's sitting on the luggage rack. There's no padding there. I guarantee you that they must have buns of steel over there or something. They'll worship on 2x4s and they'll sit on a luggage rack and ride for miles across a bumpy, rocky road. Tell you what, that's crazy. If you're running for election, you don't make signs. You just spray paint on the wall. Okay, that's really what they do. If they're going to advertise something, they just will spray paint it on the wall. Very interesting thing. This is a picture of the church of, in Pelton. Melissa is standing in front of this structure here, and they have raised the roof. You can see kind of where the paint stopped there and where they added the second story to this church. Here's a picture of the pews that we built, one buys. And that's 30 of those that we put. There's no railing there. See Scott Fuchs over there hanging his foot off the edge, probably scaring his wife over there just a little bit because that's a little bit of a drop. And they set that pew right on the very edge. So good luck to you worshiping on that front row. Okay. This is the pulpit. And this is where Philip preached. And this is a trail to the river that Philip and Tony traveled to get down to the river to watch the baptism. The interesting thing about this is a sight that you'll often see all over the place in Haiti. There is trash everywhere on the side of the roads and things like outside of people's houses, not so much in their yards, but outside of that, near the roads and things like that. They have trash done. They have a trash dump in Capation in the middle of town, and there's something burning literally all the time. They will burn their trash to try to get rid of it. But this is one of the trash piles that you had to walk through to get to the river, and this is where they held their baptism. And we walked down after we got the pews built. We walked down before we went back to where we were going and just kind of looked around. And it doesn't look deep enough to baptize someone, but if you get out there in the far middle where Scott Fuchs is, they kind of dam it up a little bit there where there's a deep spot where they can baptize someone. There's Greg Jensen saying, "Don't take a picture of me. I'm about to dive off this rock." Here's some Haitian boys, very nice looking boys there, and this is where they will do their laundry in this river. Here's some observations, really, that I wanted to share with you. That there is a tremendous amount of trash in Haiti. And it's truly sad that they deal with this on a daily basis. And it's ironic to me that the church that meets in Pelton has to walk through a small random trash dump to witness someone unload the debris of sin in their life through the waters of baptism. That just kind of grabbed me a little bit. Here I am walking through this little trash dump to go and see the spot where someone unloaded all of the debris in their life to take on their Lord in baptism, to be buried with Christ. Interesting. I'm reminded of the truth that we often deal with the sewer pollution problem in the United States, just on a different scale. The pollution Americans struggle with is the trash allowed into our minds through music and the media, often through TV, movies, videos, the internet. That truly explains the pollution that we deal with here. They deal with it on the physical scale and the spiritual scale, but here we deal with it in a different way. In many ways, this is just as overwhelming as the physical rubbish in Haiti. We may go through life polluting ourselves and really think nothing of it. Go through life thinking about what all is going into our minds. I'm reminded of James chapter 1 and verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world, unstained from the world, unblemished from the world. We are to live a life that is clean, that is pure, in a world that is corrupt and evil. And we must do everything we can to put our trust in our life in the hands of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all sin, no matter what trash piles we may walk through, no matter what may enter into our minds. We are called to trust in a God who can clean us whiter than white. You know, while I was in Haiti, the first night that we were there, Philip and I met a man named LeCounte. He was from Port-au-Prince. He was about 7 or 8 hours away from home. He had a little girl. He worked at an orphanage. He had a young girl with him. He was decked out in a solid white suit, bright white, with a blue tie. And I remember when we drove in and I saw him, I thought, wow, that's impressive. I don't even see that in the United States, you know. And here was this guy, and he was helping this young lady because her dad had already passed away, and her mom had just passed away. And he was there with her to go to her mom's funeral. And I think about all of the things, that's very picturesque of what some of the children who are orphaned there go through. And we really don't even think about that much. And some of the things that they deal with, how these people are. And really and truly, they are souls. They are souls just like you and me. And they are people in need, yes. But we have people in need right here, right now, today as well. But it's an amazing thing, and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to go into Haiti for the first time. I like to not made it in or out, for that matter. I got detained both ways, and I'm kind of skittish of people with clipboards now. It would be at the mall or my wife, either one. It doesn't matter anymore. Stay away, you know. I don't want a clipboard anymore. But the truth is that I cherish the experience that I had. And I'm so grateful for the time that we were able to spend there and that I could just see some things for the first time and make some observations and make some spiritual applications. And I really don't know where you are in your spiritual life right now. But I tell you, these people have touched me. These people have made a difference in my life. There's some things that I hope to be able to do to help maybe even the church at La Mole where we were and the people there. I hope that we will be able to do something like that, maybe do some things with our youth group to make a difference for those people. I don't know where you are in your spiritual life right now, but if there is something that we can do to help you change so that you can be in that right relationship with Jesus Christ, we want you to know that we are here for you. The Westside family is, and I say Westside family a lot, but the Westside family really is a family. And family helps each other and is there for each other no matter what. We want to be there for you. If you have a need, you need the prayers of the church, you want to begin your relationship with God tonight, we want to help you with that. And if we can, please come now as together we stand and sing.